Welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. I'm Jordan Edwards, Communications Associate at the BJC. Today we are recording at the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship General Assembly in Greensboro, North Carolina, and my guest is Mark Wiggs, a longtime supporter of the BJC. Mark, how are you doing?
Doing well today. Thank you, Jordan.
So, Mark, you've had a long relationship with the Baptist Joint Committee. How did that relationship begin?
I think my relationship with the Baptist Joint Committee may have begun before I knew it was beginning. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church that focused on, among other things, the issue of religious liberty. And so as a child, I learned about religious liberty in a general way. I remember in particular one time in elementary school when a Christian teacher was praying a prayer in our public school, and one of my Jewish classmates became uncomfortable when she closed it in Jesus' name. And hearing that, even though I was in third grade, I knew that there was something that wasn't all right about that. So that was perhaps one of my beginnings. I learned more about the Baptist Joint Committee as the years went on, and in the 90s, I began donating. My wife and I began donating to the BJC, and then over the last 15 years, I've been involved in a number of volunteer roles with the BJC as my involvement's grown.
And you were board chair, weren't you, at some point?
I was board chair for a term in 2005 to 2007.
So you got an insider's view of how the BJC operates.
Very much so.
So you mentioned you have been donating to the BJC since the 90s. Why do you support the BJC?
The more I've learned about the BJC, the more I've wanted to support it. The BJC is focused on one critical issue, and that is the religious liberty component of this country's governance. And I feel like the Baptist Joint Committee, because of that focus, is able to build expertise and educate in a way that no other organization really can in this country.
You're not a pastor. You're not a seminary graduate. You're not a former BJC intern. Why did you feel compelled to fight for religious liberty? And what interested you in that cause? Because you could have just, you know, donated here and there to the BJC. You didn't have to be on the board. You didn't have to be Religious Liberty Council co-chair.
I think in part it's my background in my education. I was a history major in college, and I went to law school and am a lawyer. And really in the course of those portions of my educational journey, I learned a lot about the First Amendment, the Religious Liberty Clause, and the importance to this country of maintaining religious freedom and the separation of church and state. I also had a lot of good mentors over the years, and I've learned a lot from them.
I'm sure you were close to James Dunn.
I was.
What's really great to see is the different styles of James Dunn and Brent Walker. Both effective leaders, both have a definite different way of doing things.
James was one of the mentors I was speaking of just from coming to the Baptist Joint Committee meetings and to events like the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, where he would be speaking. And then just talking to James informally was always a wonderful educational experience.
Yeah, I'm sure he said many things that you wouldn't say on a podcast.
That may have happened once or twice.
Speaking of Brent, Brent's been the executive director since 1999, and he's retiring at the end of this year. Tell me about your relationship with Brent. How did you first meet, and what kind of relationship have you had over the years?
Well, of course, before he became executive director, Brent was general counsel at the Baptist Joint Committee. And during the years he was general counsel, I got opportunities to be around him and to hear him speak and to have conversations with him. And because of that background that Brent had as general counsel, he was in a perfect position then to move into the executive director position when James retired from it. By going to the annual meetings of the Religious Liberty Council and hearing speakers like Congressman John Lewis and Dr. Buddy Sheridan and many, many others, all of that combined to educate me about the work of the BJC and the importance of the BJC.
And how would you describe Brent as an executive director? What makes him a good leader?
Well, Brent combines, of course, the two big elements of his background, his training as a lawyer and his seminary training and a member, ordained member of the clergy. And I think that made him a natural fit to be the leader of the Baptist Joint Committee. And I think anyone that's worked with him or watched him work sees how he uses both of those skills to great effect as a leader for the Baptist Joint Committee. Brent is also very much a team leader. He builds a team. He's built a wonderful staff. I think that's one thing that always encouraged my involvement in the Baptist Joint Committee, because I knew Brent had built a wonderful staff that could carry out the work. And he gave staff members and has continued to give staff members responsibilities and put trust in them in a way that has built a very good team spirit at the organization.
Now, you had an interest in religious liberty as when you were younger, whether you knew it or not, but how did getting that law degree and having a constitutional understanding of religious liberty, how did that affect your view?
Well, the experience of going through law school and taking constitutional law and learning as a lawyer how important those clauses in the First Amendment and that clause in the main body of the Constitution that says there shall be no religious test for public office, which is sometimes forgotten, but is just as important. Knowing the way those clauses have worked together over our history, not always seamlessly, but in a balance that the Supreme Court has over and over again upheld and affirmed, seeing that from a historical sense has, I think, impressed upon me even more the importance of the work.
You've seen everything throughout the 80s, 90s, on through current day, the Smith decision and the passing of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and to today's current climate. Why is it important today to fight for religious liberty, arguably more than ever?
Well, I think one reason that fight is important is because it is so much, the term religious liberty, the term religious freedom, is so much in the news these days that there has to be more education about the history and meaning and importance of the balancing that that First Amendment clause requires. And if that education is not out there, religious liberty as a concept can be taken and sometimes abused and misused in ways that I think are destructive to this historical balance that the Constitution has set up and that the courts have enforced for many years. The Baptist Joint Committee has had an increasing focus on education over the last 20 years as I've been involved in watching it happen. And I just think that's critical for our future, is to continue to take that education component, and by bringing in high school students, college students, other groups that come to Washington, and making the Baptist Joint Committee a part of their Washington experience, by taking the Baptist Joint Committee's staff and other speakers out into the states across the country and educating people about the importance of religious liberty and the proper ways of thinking about the balance that the Constitution sets up. Those are hugely important. I think we'll continue to become even more critical as the years go by.
And you mentioned the educational aspect of the BJC, which really increased with the opening of the Center for Religious Liberty and the new offices on Capitol Hill. What, in your words, what in your mind is Brent's legacy with the BJC?
Well, you mentioned the Center for Religious Liberty, our offices in D.C. I've served on the Capitol Campaign Steering Committee throughout the entire period of the planning and the fundraising and the execution of those plans to build the center. And watching Brent step into many roles in that process and seeing the way he took the case of the center to the people just was so important to the overall plan of the Capitol campaign.
You are involved in several nonprofits. What do you like about the BJC? What attracts you to the BJC?
Well, many things that we've already talked about, but one thing specifically about the Baptist Joint Committee as a nonprofit is I've always been impressed by the way the BJC focuses on its prime mission, that is the protection and enhancement of religious liberty, and doesn't get diverted by other potentially good things that are outside of that main focus, because that is a tendency that nonprofits often have to resist. And the BJC for 80 years has maintained that focus, and that's always impressed me.
Mark, you mentioned that students often visit the Center for Religious Liberty and get an educational session from BJC staff members. And one thing that Brent always brags about when they come in is the view. He pulls up the shades and points out the Capitol, and he points out the Supreme Court. And you can recall how that view became the conference room.
I can, and it is one of the best views in Washington, and I encourage everyone to come to the BJC offices someday and see that view. When Brent became executive director, the office of the executive director was in that very space with that very view. And when the offices were renovated to become the Center for Religious Liberty, Brent gave up that space and that view and moved his office down the hall so that the conference room would now have that view, so that when the students or the groups would come in and have meetings with our education specialists or to other groups come in to work on advocacy in some way, they would have that view instead of Brent. And I just see that as an example of Brent's generous spirit and his dedication to the overall success of the Baptist Joint Committee that really says a lot about what Brent Walker is all about.
Mark, well, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
It was my pleasure.
This has been the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. For more podcasts, visit our podcast page at bjconline.org/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes channel.